What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, halfway home on a Tuesday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. A lot of people in the chat, very touched by that interview we just did with Michael King. A lot of people in my DMs as well, wondering how they can help. King of the Hill Foundation. I think Michael King and his wife have really struck a chord with this foundation. And, you know, you talked about your personal experience with it, Ben, and a lot of people in chat talking about their diagnosis. And, man, I was really struck with what he said about two more years. You know, two more years. Hey, who among us, if they said, hey, you know, potentially, I give you two more years of a really, really good life. Not that it's, you know, it's not a death sentence by any stretch. And there's ways to combat the symptoms and things like that. But two more normal years. Who doesn't sign up for that in a second? So great work that they're doing. And man, you sit next to Michael King. And you kind of feel his energy and the kind of person he is. He is about as good as they come. So really happy he's a Padre. There was a lot of pressure on his shoulders when he got traded over here. You're the guy that got traded you're the centerpiece of the Juan Soto deal. That's going
it was
to
held up on you.
Yeah, that was going to be around. That's going to be around forever. And I just can't say enough good things about the man. The person and the pitcher. I mean, I love watching him pitch.
And I want to thank the tier ones in our chat who are sharing their own personal stories, you know, as well about family members or personal, you know, battles with type 1 or even type 2 diabetes. They're very different diseases, but any research is appreciated, and that's why I'm so thankful for Michael King for starting this foundation. Again, he'll have more details on Thursday at his launch event.
So apparently I was very excited to... interview Michael King.
Are you excited
yesterday?
Or maybe nervous?
So I wasn't nervous at all.
So one of the reasons we don't do a lot of those dugout interviews, and we got lucky yesterday. They didn't start the music up. The sound quality can be difficult. We're not wearing headphones. We can't hear ourselves. We're just talking into unfamiliar microphones and hope, kind of crossing our fingers, that it all sounds good at the end. And Paulie does a great job of doing his best to make it sound good, but there are many factors that are beyond our control in sometimes recording an interview like that.
One of them being our recording device has two microphone inputs, but there's three people in the interview. So had we had a third microphone that was only dedicated to the player, it's a little bit easier. You can kind of adjust the levels, but there's a lot of back and forth handing the mics over or you talking into the microphone and then holding it in front of their mouth. But you guys are professional broadcasters. You exert a lot of energy. Sometimes the players are a little bit more laid back and soft spoken, so I kind of ride the levels up a little bit.
AKA
when they're talking
normal. Yeah, they talk like normal people.
Yes.
And we do not.
And then maybe you have a quick follow-up and you take the mic back and ask the question, and now it's a hot mic, I gotta adjust it. So yesterday, get home from Petco Park and I'm editing the interview, and I noticed, I'm trying to put this like in layman's terms, basically one microphone feeds to the left ear if you're wearing headphones, and one of the microphones that you guys are using would feed to the right ear. I then go and mix it all together, and it sounds smooth, both ears if you're listening on headphones or in your car. But I noticed that Woods' microphone, since it was isolated before I edited it, I played the interview back and I go, what is that in the background? And it was our old pal Woods just simply existing.
Yeah, just being.
Breathing into the microphone. But because it was isolated, it sounded a little worse. I was like, I got to go back and edit that. Here's what caught my attention.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King and the Padres dugout about to launch the King of the Hill Foundation. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, of course. I think it's been since spring training, right?
Were you listening?
Did you did you sprint your way down to the interview?
No, I did not sprint. My wife, Hannah, will sometimes just shoot me a look, and I go, "Oh, must be breathing heavily." Sorry for breathing next to you.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King and the Padres dugout, about to launch the King of the Hill Foundation. We'll talk.
I feel nude.
Paulie, can you remove my microphone and Michael King's audio and just isolate just Woods' microphone?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Benjamin. I absolutely can. Here's the first 25 seconds of that interview. You might hear Ben or Michael King in the background, yeah. But this is only Woods' microphone.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King. Padres dugout about to launch the King of the Hill Foundation. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, of course. I think it's been since spring training, right?
So it was 6.5 months ago that we first met you in the back patio.
Oh, my God.
It was a great conversation. As you look back now, what stands out to you from the journey, from then to where you and the team are right now?
I sound morbidly obese.
You sound like a jog here from Encinitas.
I know Woods remembers this. Paulie may be too young. Does anyone remember 1-900 numbers?
Sex lines? Yeah. Of course you remember those. Yes, I remember the 1-900.
Heavy breathing.
3, 2.
Oh. Yeah, somebody just said Bulldog Woods. I'm a Frenchie.
All right, 3, 2.
Oh, my God.
Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King.
Oh, my God.
About to launch
that
the
is
King of the Hill Foundation. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, what's your problem? What is your problem? What is my problem? Next interview, I'm going to be like this.
Mechanically, I think when I'm not talking, I lower the microphone away from my face.
I don't.
Do you just keep it up there the entire time?
Just keep it here. The worst part about that interview was Paulie said, hey, you know, with the two mics, you have to hold the mic over to his mouth. And the mic was very heavy. So you see me, I'm switching hands several times because your arm starts to get tired.
That thing must weigh at least 1.5 pounds.
Seriously. Well, I had done upper body at the gym. I was very sore.
You can't do upper body on days we got to do interviews.
So Patrick says, do I have sleep apnea?
Obviously.
Yes. Are you kidding me? We've had this combo.
Catching up with Padres pitcher Michael King.
Oh,
my Padres
God.
Dugout about to launch the...
This is what... I get it now, Hannah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I totally understand. Now I'm so domed out, I'm just going to be... Somebody says, do you wear a CPAP when you're awake? I should.
First for 24-hour CPAP.
God dang, man. Bulldog Woods is great. Yeah, Frenchie. It's more of a Frenchie. Just
I almost felt bad. I mean, I didn't really. But I go, I don't know. Is it gonna bother him? In the morning?
I don't.
And then
care.
I'm thinking, well, if this is Ben, we probably would have done an hour on this instead of a segment.
That's true. No, I don't. I don't care at all.
No brainer.
I mean, I sent Ben a latex doll. I mean, we all take our turn in the torture chamber every now and then. But I guess it's a real thing. I've fought against it. I don't believe people when they tell me constantly that I'm a loud mouth breather, apparently. But it sounded like there was some nose in there and some mouth. But all right. So now
You may be breathing out of your ears, too.
I could be.
That is possible.
Right, 3, 2, 1. Catching up with Padres pitcher
nose whistle.
Michael King and a Padres dugout about to launch the...
Yeah. This. I need to figure out the sleeping thing. I think that has something to do with it. Sounded like I was scuba diving. I'm more knit. Yeah. Alex says you can go get it checked. Bro, I've done sleep study after sleep study. I have a CPAP under my bed. I can't sleep with it on. I can't. I feel like I'm drowning, and it's a worse night's sleep for me.
Oh, God. Have you looked into that implant that I see advertisements for?
It's an implant.
Television?
I'll do it. I will do it. I will do it.
I forget what it's called, but it's like Woods. You like push a button. You have a like a remote control. You push a button. It like inflates your trachea over. Sounds extreme, but people swear by it.
I've seen it all. I've heard it all. They have mouthpieces. They have guards. They have CPAPs. Megan, this is one I've seen recently. There is mouth tape that you tape your mouth shut at night. So that's cool. I'll just wake up, or I won't wake up at all. Just he choked on his own vomit. Who would have thought?
So you're gagged.
Taped up. It's just panic, man. It's just panicked. All panicked. I just want to breathe normally. Holy cow. Michael, our boss, says he uses the mouthpiece. It works well. Yeah. I'll try the mouthpiece next and report back. But yeah, I know how bad it is for you. Plus, I think about how much I abused my heart and lungs and for 30 years. And I'm like, oh boy. All right. It's a matter of time, fellas. So let's live each day like it's our last. How about that? Kurt says SD fat loss. Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate that, buddy.
I will say that I had the same problem, but losing the weight did help a ton in my
sleep. How did you gain all the weight?
It's fantastic. I'm working on it. My diet is cleaned up. I'm working out, so we'll see what happens.
The rest of the interview, though, with Michael King, I loved him talking about his mentality and his frustration when he has to come out of a game and having to apologize to Mike Schilt a couple of times for like looking surly when the manager came out to get him. His last start, I thought, I actually saw that when Ruben Nabla came out and said, empty the tank. You know, you've got this is it. So empty the tank here, let it all loose, get through the inning. He did. And then he's got that bullpen you talked about it, you know, that you got to feel good knowing you've got those guys behind you in the Padres bullpen anytime you need it. Just give us six strong innings and you're always putting the Padres in really good position.
Yeah, man. And the thing about not wanting to come off the mound, you know, I hope Schilt's, you know, not mad at me, bro. Every manager on the planet loves that move. They love it. And they'll give you the, hey, you can't, hey, when I come to take you out, you got to go. You know, but don't show me up or whatever. But I've never thought Michael King has showed him up at all. And every single manager is like, and plus it's Michael King. It's like getting mad at Ben. Like, you can't get mad at Michael
King.
It's
not like Mad Bum, you know, just always angry.
Like, we get it. You're so intense. You're the most intense guy, Mad Bum. We understand. But it's like, you know, he's caught up in the moment. Cool thing was, I was talking to him before the interview, and I said, so he goes, I just have a hard time sleeping after a start. I go, what about the night before a start? He goes, no problem.
Sleep like a baby.
I go, really? Really? Like that to me would be the one where I wouldn't sleep a wink. And then after you kind of exert all your energy, he said, but the adrenaline is so, so peaked after a start. He goes, I can't stop sweating. Like it's a lot. So, just kudos to him, man. Great dude, great family. And I'm so glad he's here. So glad he's here. Just what a future in broadcasting he has. I noticed you didn't hear him breathing heavily into the microphone. So.
Are you comparing yourself to Michael King?
No, I'm saying he has a better future in broadcaster than I do. Because doesn't breathe into, and you too, he doesn't breathe into the microphone.
He's also good looking.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the whole package. For sure.
Yeah.
Smile.
Yeah. He's great, dude. Great sense of humor.
And we talked to him at spring training. Like, does dad or his mom,
his
somebody
dad.
Somebody does.
His dad's a broadcaster. Yeah.
It's in his blood. He's going to be a TV
like sports anchor like me, I think. Yeah. In the Northeast, many, many years. Our baseball coverage at 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We got Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, coming up at the bottom of the hour.
He's going to get me, by the way. He's like, not mad at me, but I annoyed him.
You did?
Oh, I crushed him when I was in San Francisco. I think it irked him. So he's gonna have some words for
when
me.
We come back though.
And I wasn't breathing. It had nothing to do with that.
I'd like to do a quick update on the National League Rookie of the Year race, which is really going to end up with three guys who probably could have easily won the award any other year, but aren't going to win it this year. Because of probably Jackson Merrill. We'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Woods, if I said the name Chris Coughlin, that ring a bell to you?
No.
Should it?
No.
2009 National League Rookie of the Year with the then Florida Marlins, outfielder.
Don't remember him at all.
Don't remember, really?
Yeah. Dark
Chris
period for
Coughlin.
Me.
Chris Coughlin.
Dark period.
Most rookies of the year go on to pretty decent careers. I mean, in recent vintage, guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. won it in 2018, Cody Bellinger 2017, Corey Seager in 2016.
Got, so, like, the Bob Hamlins of the world.
But there
though.
Are yeah. there are years where there just weren't any standout rookies, and someone has to win the award. And so, you know, Chris Coughlin gets one in 2009. Giovanni Soto gets one in 2008 for the Chicago Cubs.
Would have been a good real or fake this week, Ben.
That's a good point. This year is not one of those years in the National League, because you have four guys who probably in any other year could be running away with the National League Rookie of the Year award. Of course, we know Jackson Merrill and what he's done, including another home run last night, his 24th of the season. He has really been the spark plug that has driven the Padres to now 86 wins this year with great play in center. We all believe that he is the favorite and should be the favorite. But in any other year, obviously there's Paul Skeens, who pitched again yesterday, Woods, and actually took a loss, his third of the year. Not really his fault. He gave up one run in six innings, struck out seven. His ERA is still just a tick over two, 2.07. 10-3, 2.07. He'd be a fine Rookie of the Year award choice most seasons.
You know how I feel about Paul Skeens.
You love Paul Skeens.
I love Paul Skeens.
You do.
Yeah.
Which I loved anything as much as you love Paul Skeens.
Rookies don't have 2020 seasons. That's just something that's not done. Jackson Schurria already has one. He's 20 years old. He's had a phenomenal year for the Milwaukee Brewers. But
I love Paul Skeens.
We know you do. And the early season favorite, remember, Shota Imanaga of the Cubs was so dominant early in the year. And then he tailed off, but not for very long.
Came back.
You know, he's now 14-3. With a 3 ERA, had 11 more strikeouts yesterday in a win over the A's. He's actually a Cy Young candidate in the National League, but still seems to fall short of Skeens and Churio and Jackson Merrill in what has really shaped up as one of the best National League Rookie of the Year races that I think we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a good way to look at the future of baseball. And, you know, you get the feeling that Jackson Merrill's not going anywhere. Jackson Churio is here to stay. Paul Skeens is electric. And Shota Imanaga is an incredible talent. So the future of baseball, you know, for my kids, and it's great, man. It's in great hands. These are some of the best players in the game right now, and they just happen to be rookies. So you feel pretty good about any one of those four guys on your team. And, yes, every year you look at it and you go, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good for a rookie. These guys are, in Jackson Merrill's case and Jackson Churio, Ben, especially, they are directly impacting their team's chances to win a World Series. Paul Skeens is not, and it's through no fault of his own. He's done his job, but he's played in 20 games this season. 21, sorry. It's hard for me to give, as elite and electric as he is, as much as I love him and love watching him pitch, it's got to be Jackson Merrill. And plus, you think about, how many games has Jackson Merrill won for this team? How clutch has he been for this team down the stretch? That has to factor in.
And had he not gotten hurt, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is 6-2 with a 2.63 ERA. He's actually pitched even less than Paul Skeens, just 16 starts this year.
They'll probably give it to him just to give me a heart attack.
won't throw him in the mix, but talk about, you know, 4+1 unbelievable rookies in the National League this year.
Yep.
And Jackson Merrill, for my vote, is just a little bit above the rest of them and has separated himself just enough that I feel confident no matter what happens these last couple of weeks of the year should be Jackson Merrill's award, but doesn't diminish or take anything away from the very, very fine seasons that all those other gentlemen have had this year.
I can say all four of those guys are an absolute blast to watch play the game of baseball. Churio, too. I mean, he is so much fun to watch play. And obviously, you know, how I feel about Paul. And Imanaga I had on my fantasy team this year, Ben, and he was dominant for me. I love him as well. But
I love Paul Skeens.
Love Paul Skeens.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
I love Paul Skeens.
He has some videos on Instagram that I lie in bed at night and I show my son. about work ethic. Believing in yourself.
It's a good sign, though, for the future of baseball.
Yeah, I just said that.
That stars are continuing to emerge.
Yeah, that's what
you never want to be stale.
I think it's a good sign for baseball, Paulie. I feel like baseball's in good hands in the future.
Guys like Jackson Merrill, Jackson Churio, Paul Skeens. I think it's great for the game baseball long term.
Well, one thing we haven't said yet is that the future of the game is in really good hands, especially with these.
You can't
NL
say
rookies.
It enough.
Yeah, I guess you can't.
It's really what I.
You
I
want to drive say. The point home.
I'm going to reiterate every once in a while. Good points.
Where's like Adam when we need him? Our boss Adam loves to reiterate things. Just making sure you guys got this email. The one that was sent to everyone, we got it. Now I have to delete yours to go back and read it. We got it. But yeah.
Does he know that makes it harder to find those emails?
That's the thing.
That is true.
It's true. If I get an email from Ben Higgins and it goes to everyone, and then I get an email from Adam Klug, reply all, hey, making sure you saw this email from Ben. Then when I want the email from Ben, I don't remember. I just see an email from Adam and I go,
It like stacks the emails and
it stacks
like Ben,
them.
Comma,
yes,
Adam,
Ben,
comma.
Right.
And it's like, where was the original email now?
Is it extra sweet because this is against the Dodgers?
I feel like it's one of those moves where you're like, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm working. I'm on it. I'm on it right now. Eyewash is what it is. It's boss eyewash. He's the reiterator. You're just the non-payer attentioner. That's the difference in Adam and yours. You weren't reiterating. You just weren't listening.
No, I just wanted to make my own point.
And which was the same point that I just made.
The same point that you were making. Good point, though.
I think we can all agree, though, at the end of the day,
it's good for the game of baseball. The future is
right.
It is right.
It's in good hands.
It's good hands. It's my favorite.
Jesse's usually a little sharper than I am at this point. So why don't we turn things over to Jesse Agler?
He's about to roast me up.
In our next segment. And he can roast Woods as much as he wants.
Sit back and relax because it's coming. I can
promise you that. When we return with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Did see Jesse Agler briefly before the game yesterday when we went down to Petco Park. You guys spent some time with Manny Machado.
We did.
Who else did we see down there yesterday? Oh, you know who
I
ran into? Pedro from the Spanish language radio broadcast team, and he talked about all the Spanish language calls that we play, and how it's never him because it's usually Eduardo, because he calls the walk-offs and those are the ones that we play, but he said he does listen and sometimes hears those Spanish language calls that we play.
How about me walking out on the field? So one of my buddies I used to play baseball with is a guy named Mike Ramazzotti, and Ramo is now an infield coordinator, Benny, for in the Houston Astros system. And he texted me, you coming down today? And I said, yeah, Ramo, I haven't seen you in forever. San Diego guy, coached a lot of kids around here. And so I went to talk to him, and we're sitting there chatting, and I looked over to my left. I'm like, huh, that's Albert Pujols. And I wonder what he's doing here today. That was a trip.
That could have been a do-do this moment for Manny Machado, I think.
The door opened, and Albert Pujols walked out with his family. I went, well, what is happening?
Yeah,
I thought
he was there. Well, maybe he knows Mike Schilt,
well,
obviously, from
does,
the time
of
the Cardinals, and that's why he was there. But that's not why he was
there. That's not why.
No, he was there because it was his daughter's birthday, and his daughter is a massive Manny Machado fan and wanted to go see Manny play live for her birthday. And Manny hooked her up with the jersey and batting gloves.
So
and
sick.
I mean, that was very cool to see Albert Pujols on the field before the game yesterday.
It was very, very cool and like quite jarring, actually.
Yeah, unexpected. Because, you know, Mike Schilt never managed Albert Pujols. He was long gone from the Cardinals.
Knows.
But they went to spring trainings together and stuff in the many years that Albert was in the Cardinals organization. And Mike Schilt was a minor league manager. So,
and I know Albert's like working with MLB now, but he's probably still so entrenched in the Cardinals organization, I would assume, right?
I would guess.
Wasn't he contractually required to be like with the Angels organization?
Ooh, maybe for
something,
like a year or something?
For a few years, like after his career, as part of like the deal. So I don't exactly know what he's completely doing, but yeah, I was like, oh, wait, I know that. Tony Gwynn Jr. went over, and they seemed to be pretty buddy-buddy. They were chatting for a while before the game. So, all right, we got Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, joining us. We will get to Jesse right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we are joined right now, as we are each and every Tuesday, by the radio voice of the San Diego Padres here on 97.3 The Fan, Jesse Agler. And I'm going to start, Jesse, with a question that Mike Schilt was asked in his pregame scrum. And that is, can you believe we're down to the last 2 weeks of the season? Did it pass quickly or slowly for you, Jesse, the last 5.5 months?
You know, it's funny because at times it feels like it's flying by. At other times it feels like it's never going to end. You know, you're never going to get there. And this is obviously the kind of time of year you get excited about and you're wanting to get here. And like, let's get to that stretch run where every game matters and everybody, you know, is watching every other game and what's going on. But I would say generally for me, every year it flies by. It's amazing. You know, my kind of standard line is at the beginning of the season, hey, it's going to be Memorial Day before you know it. And it's going to be 4th of July before you know it. It's going to be Labor Day before you know it. And now, you know, here we are now less than 2 weeks to go in the regular season. It somehow does fly by despite, you know, kind of the crazy nature of the schedule.
So Jesse Agler joins us. Jesse, scale of 1 to 10. How concerned were you for my mental health and well-being on Friday night in San Francisco? Did you think I had ingested something maybe I bought off the street?
You know, you seemed very... have you talked about this on the air? Like, how much background do I need?
A little bit. I've talked about it a little bit.
We talked about the outrageous 7:15 start time, and
yes.
Woodsy was... Well, why are they chalking the lines?
Yeah, I think Woods was like very bent out of shape about some very odd things. So yeah, I was a little concerned. Call it an 8, you know, if you want 1 to 10.
Yeah, okay, good.
You know, I think most places chalk the lines at about the same time.
Are you sure? You know, I felt like there was 20 minutes to game time, and I felt like these guys forgot, and they are out there scrambling to get this field ready. And also, come on. I mean, game was 7:15 start. It was 5:30, and we're standing in line outside. They weren't letting anybody in. I found that a little odd.
I'm not an expert on what time the gates open at different places. You know, I know at Petco, generally for the public, it's an hour and a half. I know season ticket holders can get in a little bit earlier. But I feel like that's fairly standard. It's definitely not that long in some places. Because, you know, we'll be sitting there in the booth getting ready and you'll hear, you know, the announcement that the gates are now open. I don't pay super close attention to it, but I think an hour and a half is probably pretty standard. You know, as far as the start times go, they do 7:15 on Friday nights. because, you know, they've figured out that that's what their fan base wants. That's what start times are all about. You know, Atlanta is miserable. They do these 720s and I think 740s even still, because of where they put their ballpark. And so knowing the traffic and where their fans are coming from, exactly, they said that's what we have to do. You know, the Padres have kind of settled on the 640 for their usual weekday home games. Everybody, you know, is making informed decisions when it comes to that. All these teams are figuring out sort of what works for their fans on a certain day of the week. You know, everything is data driven these days. So the 715 is not just to inconvenience the Woods family.
Yes.
You know, they've realized that that's what makes the most sense for them. And yeah, I think the lines were being chalked at the exact right time.
Are
you don't
sure?
want it too early because then the wind can blow it around.
That's true. Especially there. I don't get out much, as you can tell. I mean, I'm a bit of a homebody, so there you go. Well, no, it was a great series. Obviously, great series there. Great game to go to on Friday night. Just been a revelation, Jesse, watching this team and the way that they're playing and beating, you know, a really good Astros team last night. I was very encouraged by a lot of the things I saw. I mean, just one thing that jumped off the page, Xander Bogaerts, I think it's his first AB, 10-pitch at bat, ends up getting a single. But you feel like, man, even if he didn't get a single, Jackson Merrill behind him is locked in. Was it Merrill behind him? Yeah, Merrill behind him. Jackson Merrill's locked in, gets to see 9-10 pitches. These guys are really, really winning on the margins.
That's what they've been doing really all year long.
Yep.
I think, you know, I turned to Scans yesterday. We were working together and before the game, and I said, you know, the reality of it is this is such a fun, watchable team. And, you know, there are, and I think I've said this to you guys before, there have been good teams in the recent past in particular that were really good. They won a lot of games, but they were not enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Like, from a fan entertainment standpoint, it can be ponderous and kind of boring and robotic and, you know, unenthusiastic. But they're winning, so it's hard to complain if you're a fan of that team. But I think if somebody kind of dropping in as a third party and watching one of their games, it was like, this is terrible baseball. This is not aesthetically pleasing baseball. The 2024 Padres are not only winning a lot of games, they are doing so in a very watchable way. Because, yes, you're right. Every night there is that, you know, 8, 9, 10 pitch at bat a couple of times that seems to help unlock things. But not everybody is up there trying to have an 8 or 9 or 10 pitch at bat. Everybody is up there, as Mike Schill likes to say, with intent at the plate. You know, Victor Rodriguez, the hitting coach, his idea is if the first pitch you get is a good one to hit, you go hit it. It doesn't matter if it's pitch 1, pitch 4, pitch 7, pitch 11. They want these guys attacking the best pitch and not sort of being in this passive mentality of, oh, we got to run the pitch count up. That's just what we're going to automatically do. There will be times for that, but there will also be a lot of times for aggressiveness. And the fact that they put the ball in play as much as they do, the fact that they're able to kind of do, as Manny and Fernando like to say, what the game is calling for at a given moment, makes it a very, very aesthetically pleasing brand of baseball. So not only are they really good and really talented, but they're really enjoyable to watch, and that's been such a joy all year long. It really has.
Talking to Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres here on 97.3 The Fan, and we hear the talk, you know, the Padres are a sexy pick nationally to make a deep run in the playoffs, a team nobody wants to face in the postseason. At the same time, you're also reminded last night that anything can still happen injury-wise. You see Luis Arraez, you know, a collision at home plate, and how tenuous it all is, whether it's a position player, a pitching staff. And now you got to get to that finish line, Jesse. And your thoughts kind of on that play, the sending him home and, you know, the play at the plate and then him coming back out and just hitting and then limping his way around to second base.
Yeah, I mean, it was such like a weird, fluky play, you know. I mean, I watched the replay a couple of times, and I still was never entirely sure, you know, what happened. It looked like maybe his foot got stuck, and then he kind of tumbled and, you know, landed awkwardly. But, I mean, who knows what exactly happened where. But, look, this is the reality of sports. We saw it last weekend at home against the Giants with Jackson Merrill. You know, he fouled that ball off his knee and came out a couple of innings later. And, you know, look, it all worked out pretty well. He missed one game. He was back in the lineup on Sunday. And, you know, it is a good reminder that these kinds of things not only can happen, but often will happen. And that is, unfortunately, the reality of sports. And this team all year long has had stuff like that happen. They have weathered storm after storm after storm. Remember, Fernando missed a bunch of time. Bogaerts missed a bunch of time. In addition to that, you had Musgrove and Darvish on the shelf basically all summer long, and they've survived it. And not only have they survived it, they've thrived at times with guys missing. Now, I'm not saying I want Luis Arraez to miss more than a day, because I think that would really hurt this team. But the reality of 2024 for the Padres is they are able to, you know, handle pretty much everything that comes their way because of the depth and because of the talent. And because, again, that kind of style of play that they have, where they're not leaning too heavily on one or two guys.
You know, it's kind of a deeper philosophical question, but Jesse, I was watching the broadcast last night, and Tony was on with Don, and they talked about the guys that the Padres have brought in this season. And Tony said, look, that's by design, you know, to bring in a Solano, a Peralta. And, you know, we sat and sold ourselves last year on the Matt Carpenters and the Nelly Cruz. The only difference was they didn't produce. I still think that's been the trend for A.J. Preller. They just happen to hit this year, which I find interesting. Do you feel like with A.J. in his tenure here, that's something he's kind of learned over the last few years of like, all right, maybe the mercenary guy isn't the best, but I want to bring in these veterans and guys like that that have been there and are hungry still. Like I said, more of a philosophical question, but I do feel like that's, again, the only difference is this year, all those guys have produced and contributed greatly.
It's a great conversation to have, and it's one Tony and I have had on the radio a bunch this year. You know, first, let's start with the AJ piece of it. You know, you guys think back to the very first show you ever did together. How much better are you now than then?
Oh, God.
Infinitely.
Infinitely.
Same for me, the first game I ever called. For anybody with any job, right? I don't care what you do. If you're, you know, paving streets, you're much better at it after 10 years or 8 years than you were on your first day. That's just how life works. And when Peter Seidler would regularly, publicly preach continuity and not wanting to burn through, you know, different heads of baseball operations, this is why, you know, I think for a lot of reasons, this is what you get. You get somebody who has learned things, just figured out more, and naturally, because he's smart and curious, has gotten better at the job. I was all about Nelson Cruz and Matt Carpenter last year. I thought those were the exact kinds of moves that team needed for that roster. As you said, it didn't work out. You know, I mean, part of it was health, part of it was age, part of it was just where they were. But, like, those were the two guys that I said, absolutely. Because I envisioned Carpenter and Cruz providing a lot of what Solano and Peralta have provided this year. And, look, sometimes it just doesn't work out. This is not a perfect science. You don't know as a GM or a head of baseball operations that for sure something is going to work out. The idea was right last year. I stand by those decisions. Obviously, it went very badly in both cases. This year, it has gone very well in both cases. That doesn't mean that they're going to nail that move next year.
Yep.
You know, it's just sort of like the crazy nature of baseball. But look, you have to have a mix of guys on the roster, you know, in terms of what they're able to provide, in terms of where they are in their career, in terms of their hunger. And maybe that's the thing with Peralta and Solano. A couple of guys, you know, maybe their mindsets are a little bit different than Cruz and Carpenter, who I think it's fair to say probably a little bit more accomplished in their careers previously than these two guys.
Yeah.
Peralta and Solano both have had very nice careers, but there is something to that. But yeah, I mean, you're always trying to find the perfect mix, personality-wise, skill set-wise, everything like that. You're going to hit on some, you're going to miss on some, but you always got to stay nimble. You always got to stay ready, you know, to tack and make another choice.
By the way, did you guys see what they called Donovan Solano in the Padres clubhouse?
Is it the teacher?
Teacher, yes.
Yeah, teacher.
But not only because he is so wise and, you know, helps teach younger players. This got me because it was our Annie Heilbrun who tweeted out. Also because he kind of looks like a substitute teacher, they said, is why they call him teacher in the Padres clubhouse. All right, speaking of teaching, Jesse, the Incorporator is always an educational segment as well, because we get to learn new words that you have to incorporate into the radio broadcast tonight. And today, I'm giving you a word that I think is going to be useful in your baseball broadcast. Maybe not just tonight, but maybe going forward, something that you use all the time after today. Pauly, if you would, please.
Engstrom.
Engstrom.
Engstrom. I have a lot of engstrom about the playoffs.
That's just angst.
Engstrom.
Engstrom.
Jesse, An angstrom is a unit of length. It is the equivalent of 1/10 billionth of a meter, or 100 millionth of a centimeter, named after Swedish physicist Anders Jonas Angstrom. It's usually used to measure light wavelengths that are so microscopically small they don't have any other measurements for them.
Got him by an angstrom.
Got him by an angstrom. That's kind of what I'm implying. Yeah. Now, you can use it however you want, but that's what I'm kind of thinking here on the Incorporator.
All about astrophysics. Love it.
Well, you do have the Astros in town. So.
Oh, the Astros are in town. You see, the Astros, they just call it physics, right? They don't have to put that in there. They just call it physics. So they're good.
They're like if you multiply the amount of time it takes from when you hit the garbage can with the baseball bat.
Yeah!
Oh, my. Woo! Salty Jesse.
I love Salty Jesse.
Until it is heard in the on-deck area. Yeah.
Love it.
Jesse, as always, appreciate it.
Still some booze for Altuve, I heard last night, which is just, it's like never going to end. It's crazy.
It's a bad one. It's bad.
It's bad. Tough. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like that guy. I like that dude.
No, he's a great player, and he's going to end up being a Hall of Famer, but like that is...
It's bad.
Like a lot of guys in this game and over history, that's going to be a thing that sticks.
100%.
And it just is what it is.
Thank you, buddy.
Good broadcast tonight at 6:40. We are out of time. That was Jesse Agler. We've got 1 hour left, though. We'll come back. Paulie's going to give us some headlines on the Rindler Report and your chance to win tickets to tomorrow's series finale and Fernando Tatis' Platinum Glove bobblehead game. All coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.